I wonder how many of you have travelled in one of these, a Mediterranean cruise liner. No doubt an enjoyable time with little concerns about your safety on board. Sometimes, though, even the best of ships can come to grief. Here, the Costa Concordia in 2012, after it struck a rock, due to poor navigation, this was. So how do you think you would feel if you were asked to sail the Mediterranean in one of these? A Roman grain ship, the sort the Apostle Paul had voyaged in on his way to Rome. We have, over the last couple of weeks, been following the exploits of Paul, his encounter with Ananias after his Damascus Road conversion, and then his experience in prison with Silas. Today, we're considering Paul's final journey as a Roman prisoner, destined to face the judgment of Caesar. But as we can gather from this morning's Bible reading, the journey was far from straightforward. Paul, in a crisis yet again, a shipwreck that evoked a sense of terrified fear and uncertainty. Yet amidst the chaos, Paul emerged as a voice of faith, assuring his fellow travellers of God's promise for his safety. As such, then, on our journey of life, it offers us some valuable lessons. And I have three for you to consider today. Firstly, that storms will come into our lives. Job announced that man is born to trouble, so surely as sparks fly upwards. And Jesus never promised us that being a Christian would be a piece of cake, that because we've come to believe in him, all of life's difficulties, hurts, and challenges would no longer affect us. He said, "In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering." Paul knew what it was to go through trouble. In his first letter to the Corinthian church, he revealed the fact that he'd known suffering, distress, hardship, and pressures. Later, in his second letter to them, he shared a list of his sufferings. This is what he says. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Life can be a winding path, marked by scenes of doubt, despair, weakness, suffering, difficulty, and pain, even as Christians. In other words, we will all at some time figuratively face storms and shipwreck. One website I looked at suggested 82 problems and obstacles that would interfere with our quality of life, from accidents to work stress. Here are just a few I've listed on the screen. Our problem is that we can't always predict them and we can't outrun them. As well as all of Paul's tribulations, he had what was called a thorn in the flesh that remained with him. Just like Paul's testimony, we have to navigate our way through them or accept that they're going to be influencing our lives long term. So how do we accomplish this? This brings us to my second lesson. By having a faith that sustains us. Usually our initial response is one of self-reliance. We busy ourselves with our own practical organisation to try and sort out and resolve what's going on, just like the crew on board Paul's ship. Then maybe we'll go on to seek guidance from others and listen to them. And all this serves to do is to raise levels of unease and dissolve any sense of hope. Now, I'm not suggesting that in and of themselves these things are wrong or misguided. We do need to be proactive in managing ourselves, and often we do need advice, especially trained professional advice, for example, for our health, finances, legal advice. But what about those deeper layers of ourselves, where despite such involvement, we still feel worried, nervous, anxious, unsure about the way ahead? Paul, though he sensed danger, understood that God was with him. Paul knew by experience where to place his trust and confidence for his life and future, even as a prisoner. Yes, Jesus did say that we would have trouble in this world, but he went on to say, "Be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world." Our security, safety, and inner peace, therefore, in the storms of life, are to be found in the fact that God knows us totally, completely. God promised Paul that "my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. They're always available, regardless of the situation." Our confidence is not that God will prevent trouble or minimize it, but will be with us in it. Being a Christian does not mean everything will always be easy, but it does mean, in the words of Julian of Norwich, "all shall be well." It is the God of all grace, then, through our knowledge of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to prevail in every situation. It is God himself who promises to meet us in our need, restore our brokenness, strengthen us in our weakness, and keep us safe and secure in him. So how does then God go about restoring us, lifting us out of our doldrums and pit of despair, steering us through the storm, giving us a confident hope that he does have the best plans for us? I have four R's for you to remember: reading, rejoicing, remembering, and relationship. Paul was visited by an angel, but we can read and hear God speaking to us through his word, the Bible, because throughout the Bible, God makes us many promises which reassure us that he will never leave us or forsake us. His word is food for our souls. As one hymn writer put it, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word." Reading, rejoicing. In Acts 16, it tells us that when Paul and Silas were in prison, they sang hymns to God. For me, the best way to inspire and boost my faith in difficult times is to listen and to sing hymns and worship songs. They are the testimony of those that wrote them. Here are the words of songwriter Stuart Townend, which I know I've quoted many times before, because the words are so encouraging. "There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there." Reading, rejoicing. Thirdly, remembering. We need to remind ourselves of God's great love for us, that he cares for us, that we are the apple of his eye. He is on our side. As Paul so testifies in his epistle to the Romans about us being more than conquerors, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all." We need to remember this when life gets tough, that Jesus gave himself for us, so that we can know that hope of life with God and anticipate the glory of heaven. And what better way to remember than through the eating of bread and the drinking of wine at communion? The visible elements that he has overcome the world. Reading, rejoicing, remembering. Lastly, relationship. A relationship with God and with each other in fellowship. We've been recently looking at the work of prayer in our lives and how that connects us to God. God wants to hear our worries and strife. We don't have to pretend before him, but can be open. These are the openly honest words of David in Psalm 88. He's even blaming God. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You've overwhelmed me with all your waves. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. What God wants us to do is not to turn our backs on him, but to be honest with our doubts, hurts, struggles, and temptations before him, so we can know his strength sustaining us and leading us through it. Prayer then becomes our vital breath. It resuscitates us and gives new life to our flagging faith. An ongoing Christian fellowship is also a lifeline to be able to pray for one another, to reassure one another and build one another up when life is hard. So we've looked at the fact that we're going to face storms and that we need faith to sustain us. Thirdly then, storms reveal our faith and reposition us. Storms move ships. A ship cannot remain stationary through a storm, and neither can you or I. The challenges, hurts, and difficulties of life move us on. As we were learning at the end of last year in our Practicing the Way course, trouble and temptation have the most potential to reshape us, especially in our relationship to God. They are the things that put us in the fiery furnace where God refines us. As Job said, "But he, God, knows the way that I take. When he's tested me, I will come forth as gold." The storm brought Paul to a new place, as it can us. We can draw closer to God through them and emerge stronger and bolder in our faith. With Paul, the captive became the commander. The storm was an invitation for Paul to share his testimony about the God he belonged to and served. The people on the ship realized that this God of whom Paul spoke was real. It presented an opportunity for the gospel to be told. As Heather emphasized to us last week, our storms of life present such opportunities for us to talk more confidently about what God has done in our lives. But Paul also, in his second letter to the Corinthian church, mentioned something else. This is what he says. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Because we learn things from our experience, we can be of great benefit to others facing the storms of life. Paul encourages us to use our own experience of distress and anxiety to build up and encourage those who are in the thick of it. I hope this morning you've been encouraged by my words, and I can only preach them because I know them to be true. I've faced some quite notable storms in my life. At one point, I was hanging on to my faith by a very thin thread, by my fingernails. I can remember one day when trying to read my Bible, I got out a bit of paper and just scribbled all over it in black, in desperation because I felt so low and I didn't know how else to express it. I was in a place I felt there was no way out of. But God did meet me. Not in a blazing light or overnight, but he gradually revived and restored my soul in the ways that I've described. Words of scripture, hymns and songs, being able to share with my fellow Christians, and be prayed for. Paul's shipwreck gives us a great example of his unwavering faith that trusted in God whatever life threw at him, because he knew the keeping power of Jesus Christ in his life and the prospect of better things in heaven. By following Paul's example, we can learn to remain steadfast in our faith, even when faced with adversity. He reminds us that even in the most turbulent circumstances, we can rely on God's faithfulness and hold fast to his promises. I'm going to finish now with words written by another gentleman who came to faith because he thought he was going to die on a sinking ship. And they say what I'm trying to say much more precisely in conclusion. Rejoice, believer, in the Lord, who makes your cause his own. The hope that's built upon his word can ne'er be overthrown. Though many foes beset your road and feeble is your arm, your life is hid with Christ in God, beyond the reach of harm. Weak as you are, you shall not faint, or fainting shall not die. Jesus, the strength of every saint, will aid you from on high. Though sometimes unperceived by sense, faith sees him always near, a guide, a glory, a defence. Then what have you to fear? As surely as he overcame and triumphed once for you, so surely you that love his name shall triumph in him too. Amazing words of John Newton. Amen.